morning and welcome to the breakfast show on Faith FM with Kathy and Lawson. This is the right table for you to start your day with positive thoughts and some solid spiritual foods. You're listening across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88, depending, of course, on where you are. Or, of course, you can listen to us on our Faith FM app. Today's Thursday, April 4th at exactly 7:05 a.m. New South Wales time. And I'm in the studio today with Shell and Brett, who's covering for Lawson today. Our beloved Lawson will be back with us next week. Good morning, Lawson. Good morning, Brett.
I'm Discount Lawson, temporary fill-in Lawson. Yep, hello.
And how's it going? Good morning, Shell. It's great to be here with you. And I have a thought for us to start the day. By the way, I mentioned that it's 7:05 a.m. Did you know that in only 3 days' time, here in New South Wales, we will be switching to daylight savings time?
Yeah, or away from it. Back to normal time.
Yeah,
Australian Eastern Standard Time again.
Exactly. So this Sunday at 2 or in the morning, no, 3 in the morning, we're going to adjust our clocks back to 2 in the morning. So that means that you and I will get one extra hour of sleep.
Yep, state-sanctioned sleep-in.
That's right.
How good.
That has been taken away from us. Did you know that it is proven that in America, there's some research about that, that people have fewer heart attacks in the days where there's the daylight saving times changes so that they get one extra hour.
Oh, okay.
They have, I believe, 15 or 20% less heart attacks on that particular day, as opposed to an increase of 15, 20% heart attacks compared to the normal in the days that people are losing 1 hour of sleep. So sleeping is so important, and I am so glad and so thankful that we will get one extra hour. All right. And in today's show, we will talk about a few things, including an unusual friendship between a dog and a magpie. We're going to be talking about Anthony Albanese's fury at Israel that's raising Jewish's concerns. We're going to be talking about tips on saving for your first house deposit and digging deeper into the great controversy of the origin of evil.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
But before we jump into that unusual story about a magpie and a dog who become friends, which is very unusual, I'd like to hear more about that. We would like to give away our first quiz today. And what's the first quiz question that we have for our listeners, Brett?
Awesome. Question one is a true or false question. Daniel was thrown into a fiery furnace. So Daniel, from the book of Daniel, was he thrown into a fiery furnace? True or false?
All right. So if you do know the answer, 0491-064-669, text us the answer if it's true or false that Daniel was thrown into a fiery furnace. And if you do so, you will be in the draw for a what, Brett?
He's going to tell us today.
He doesn't know.
Yeah, it's a mystery to me.
That on purpose because I want to see your embarrassing look. Just kidding.
The excitement on his face when he finds out what the prize is.
Yes. Brett.
I'm excited to find out.
I will tell all the listeners when what face you are going to make when we tell them that they're going to be in for a draw for a $50 voucher.
Oh, very good.
For Better Books and Foods.
Excellent.
Now, Better Books and Foods is one of the prime stores in Australia. They have incredible books, incredible foods. This is why they are called Better Books and Foods. They are genuinely living up to their name. And you can buy all kinds of spiritual books, health-related books, books for children, books that you want to give as a gift. Even board games, we're talking about it. Wholesome board games that you can find there. Plus, incredible foods. You can buy your whole stack of Brazil nuts with $50 food voucher.
Exciting.
We were having a discussion yesterday about what nuts is the best, and Shell is more on the almond side of things. And what about you, Brad? What is your favorite kind of nuts?
I really like nut cases. They're just kind of funny to sorry, the edible ones. Cashews are pretty good.
Cashews are pretty good.
Hazelnuts.
So you can choose. We believe that you, listener, are the expert in your own life, so you can do whatever you want with this $50 voucher. So do tell us if it's true or false that Daniel, the prophet, was thrown into a fiery furnace. True or false? 0491-064669. And the draw for that prize will happen tomorrow. But now, tell us a little bit about that magpie story, Brett, because I am actually struggling to even believe that a dog and a magpie could ever be friends on this planet.
Well, before I get into the story, have you encountered magpies much in your time here?
Let me say this. They have encountered me.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
In
right?
ways
yeah.
that I did not like, including bashing against my head more than one time.
Mm.
So it is true when a foreigner thinks that Australian animals can be aggressive towards you. I am a living witness of that.
Yeah, I had to change my walking route because of a magpie, and he scratched me from my eye down to my ear, basically.
Oh, wow. And that was insane.
Knocked out my ear pod, and I was wearing a cap and everything. He was very aggressive. She, whichever it was. Yeah.
Yes, they. So, what about you, Brett? Have you ever been stricken by a magpie?
Yeah, I actually, the most memorable one was an incredibly fast magpie, I remember. I grew up on a farm. And I used to ride a motorbike around the farm, probably not in an advisable way. I didn't wear a helmet. A magpie convinced me to wear a helmet. This thing was fast. It'd always catch me no matter how fast I was going on the motorbike. It was pretty intense.
So that was maybe a cop magpie. Law enforcement magpie.
You'd get very nervous around springtime. This thing would just patrol the area. It was insane.
And some of these magpies, they can be insensitive. I would like to know from our listeners, have you ever been striked by a magpie?
Tell us your magpie stories.
Yeah, tell us your magpie story. 0491-064-669. But how come, is there a good-hearted magpie in your story today, Brett?
There is, and this is a really interesting one. So there's this couple from the Gold Coast, Juliet Wells and Reese Mortensen. And essentially, they rescued a magpie, which they named Molly. It was like a baby magpie, a young magpie, that fell from a nest in a tree at a park they were walking along by. Apparently, Reese went over, and the magpie crawled up on his arm. It was friendly from the get-go. So they actually brought the magpie home and looked after her. And what's really interesting, though, is that they had this dog. They had a dog named Peggy, who was a Staffy, Staffordshire Terrier.
Yes.
And they never intended to keep the magpie, like, as a pet. That was never their intention, at least by their view of it. Essentially, they say they let her go for ages. She'd just always come back, like, after they'd actually nursed her back to health.
Aww.
But her and this dog, Molly and Peggy, like, Molly the magpie and Peggy the dog.
Staffy.
Yeah, I need a word starting with P, but it doesn't work. Molly the magpie and Peggy the dog just doesn't go. But yeah, they became really good friends. And there's all these videos. If anyone's interesting, we obviously can't show videos on the radio, but videos on this their Facebook page, Peggy and Molly, which shows like these two are just good mates. They're playing with each other. They play tug of war together. Like I've never seen a magpie play like tug of war with a
dog.
They're
incredibly smart birds.
Yeah,
they're incredibly smart.
Yeah, and so, like, they're just hanging out. They're having a good time, right?
Yeah.
But essentially, just recently, a couple months ago, or a bit less than 2 months, actually, there was some reports made to the Queensland Department of Environment, Science and Innovation.
Okay.
That essentially reported this couple for illegal activity based on the social media stuff. Because technically speaking, magpies are a wild animal. You're not allowed to own them as a pet, right? And these videos were showing it like that. Now, they were initially investigated and they were cleared because they weren't keeping the magpie as a pet. The magpie just kept hanging out. But then people complained again and there was a complaint made on the basis that they might be making money off the magpie due to the social media, right? Social media gets enough following.
Okay.
And they got quite a number of followers. I think they got, they ended up getting about 700,000 followers across their social medias. So they were probably making a little bit of money from these videos, right, of the dog and the magpie. And so the magpie was actually seized. Molly was Molly was taken into custody.
What?
Yeah. And
this is outraging.
I think your reaction is how a lot of Australians are feeling, because this is
the poor magpie didn't do a thing.
No. No.
And it's locked up in jail.
It's been seized. They've even said they can't release it into the wild because it's been too naturalized, I guess, around humans. It's spent too much time around them. So, as far as we know, this magpie is just in some sort of government department custody, right?
What? In some cold cell.
Who knows?
Without access to sunlight.
So this story has gone absolutely viral over the last few weeks.
Okay.
Just in terms of people are pretty outraged that this has happened.
I can tell.
Yeah. It's even got as far as the Queensland Premier, who has said that he sees no reason why the magpie shouldn't be reunited, with the family. And while we're not at the end of the road yet, The good news in this story is that there's just a bit of an update as to things coming together, you know, things getting a little bit better. Because, yeah, under a technicality, these people were looking after a magpie without a permit, and they were treating it as a pet and potentially making money from it. Those things are illegal, but the situation, I would say, admittedly this is my subjective opinion, but I would say that by looking after the magpie and giving it a sort of loving home, they were doing a better thing than the government department will be sort of just keeping it there because it can't be released into the wild. You know, it's got friends, it's friends with this dog, they've got a nice community for it. But the good news is that after Premier Stephen Miles jumped in and said that Molly should be reunited with her family,
yes,
essentially there's been this update. And the update is that the department is starting to work with the family for the best possible outcome. And they have said the department has contacted the couple to assure them that Molly is being well cared for and that options are being examined for the bird's future care. Our priority is the ongoing welfare of the magpie and that the bird is safe, undergoing rehabilitation, and has full access to veterinary care. So essentially what they're looking at doing is going forward and organizing some sort of permit for the family to technically be the carers for the magpie, which is a nice little compromise in that sense.
Yes. And look, by the way, I said that the magpie was locked up in a jail. It's being well treated.
Yeah.
Because usually people that work with animals, they have a heart.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think it's in a POW camp.
No. That being said, I feel sad actually for Molly.
Mm.
Not only Molly, for Peggy, the dog, because it's her friend.
Yeah.
And animals also have feelings and they also feel.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just that idea of being like separated from your community and from your family, that's pretty rough, right?
Yes.
And it's something that we see in the Bible when the Jewish people are frequently going into, well, there's of course the Babylonian Exodus or exile. And then there's of course the various different exiles that happened throughout Jewish history, even after that and before in Egypt. And I just think about that and I'm thinking, isn't it's a great feeling to look forward to coming home. And while Molly is an animal, you know, I think how happy will they be, her family, to see her again, to her to see a friend. It'll be a nice thing.
Yeah.
And I think there's some good news in that. And it's looking like it's trending that way.
Yeah. Hmm. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I really hope all the best for Molly, for Peggy, and for the family that's raising them. And I hope that they have the best of resolutions in that fact.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
And we are receiving some comments here in regards to the magpie question we asked. Michael said, yes, I've been attacked by a magpie. But the odd thing is, he remembered each day I walked home from work and I am easily spotted with my bald head. And he followed me 1.5 kilometer walk. And then he waited high up in the tree in my backyard waiting for me to come out. And then when I came out of my backyard and feeding the dog, he would then fly home. Wow. So he's basically saying that the magpie was stalking him for 1.5 kilometers.
Stalking magpie.
Waiting for him to come out to feed the dog and then say, okay, you know, it's almost like the magpie saying, I know where you live.
Yeah.
Just so you know, you do not mess up with my territory. Wow, that's a crazy magpie story. Thank you, Michael, for sharing. And Sherry said, oh my, social media in the world of no common sense. Praying for my Lord to return. Sherry, you know, it's true. There's a lot of, you know, uncommon bad sense in social media. It just magnifies that. I think that she's referring to the fact that people would just take offense on that, you know, beautiful story.
Yeah. And sometimes bureaucracy itself can be the antidote of common sense. Like too much organization can be the antidote.
Yes.
The antithesis, rather, of common sense.
Yeah, I like that. That's a quotable statement that you just shared.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
So 0491-064-669. We have a second quiz to allow our listeners to participate in the draw for a $50 voucher for Better Books and Foods, and they can buy things online. They don't need to go to the store. If they can come to the store, great. We have a store in Currumbong, a store in, you know, various places in Australia. However, you can just order online from wherever you are. So tell me, What is question number two, Brett?
After Jacob worked 7 years to earn the right to marry Rachel, who tricked him and gave him Leah instead?
Ooh, that is a very interesting story. After Jacob worked for 7 years, imagine you're working 7 years to pay.
Oh, it was the nastiest
provide
April
for
Fool's
the dowry,
trick.
And so that you can marry the love of your life, and you were given someone else instead. Worse yet, that person's sister. Mm. Who in the world would do that to Jacob? This is what we want to know. Who was the person who tricked Jacob into marrying the wrong person?
Mm.
If you do know the answer, 0491-064-669, we are looking for a name. What's the name of that person?
Who did it?
Yes.
Who's the prankster?
And now, coming back into our news, we have had some very sad news this week.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was an Australian aid worker, along six colleagues, Brett, were killed in an airstrike by a drone in Gaza.
Isn't it tragic?
It is very tragic. So, Zomi Frankham, originally from Melbourne, she was working for an NGO called World Central Kitchen.
Mm.
And what these guys do is that they go to some of the places with greatest conflict on earth to offer support and food for people in need.
Mm.
And of course, there is a humanitarian crisis going on in Gaza at the moment by virtue of the war between Israel and Hamas.
Mm.
So Anthony Albanese, our prime minister, called Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, and he expressed the nation's fury over that attack.
Mm.
He said, and I quote, "This is completely unacceptable." And he said, "I conveyed to Prime Minister Netanyahu in very clear terms that Australians were outraged by this death, by this tragedy of this fine Australian," and I close quote.
Mm.
Now, the Australia, Israel, and Jewish Affairs Council replied to that comment, and they said that Prime Minister Albanese, that his answer and his reply to Benjamin Netanyahu was perfectly reasonable and proper. However, they also argued that the responsibility for all deaths in the conflict lay with Hamas. And it also questioned whether the government still believed there was no role for the terrorist organization in Gaza's future.
Mm.
Of course, this is in the words of the Australia, Israel, and Jewish Affairs Council, and they are worried about, does that mean that Australia will withdraw their support for Israel in that war against Hamas, who in October launched an attack killing more than 1,000 civilian innocents.
Yeah, there's certainly a shift in public opinion occurring, isn't there? Yeah.
So there is. And what do we make of that? This is a very sad news. There's this news. There's a lot of angles that we can explore here.
Mm.
Well, we can explore, for example, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, was his expressing of apologies, was his apologies good enough?
Mm.
And a lot of people are saying, actually, no. He appeared to be a little bit insensitive, or some people said very insensitive.
Okay.
Because he says, look, this is war. It happens. It was an unintended strike. Mm. We're going to try to do better in the future. Mm. And that's kind of it. Mm. And a lot of people said, oh, no, this is not enough.
Mm.
There were, in that airstrike, there were a number of, there's apparently three British citizens. Mm. There was a, I think, a Polish person and a Canada-US dual citizen in that.
Mm.
Now, from the preliminary investigations and stories that are being released in the media, apparently the soldier thought that this could have been a terrorist with them or an enemy fighter.
That makes sense. Because on the top of their vehicle, I saw this on the news, on the top of their vehicle, they actually had their logo displayed, which is meant to prevent them.
They had the logo. Apparently it was dark. Mm. So it might be that the logo was harder to see, number one. However, the convoy did report to the Israeli Defense Force, apparently, that they were going to be moving at that time to that place.
Yeah.
But apparently, moments before, the soldier would have apparently seen a truck with apparently someone carrying a gun entering into the compounds of World Central Kitchen.
Oh, okay.
So there's been raising a lot of questions in regards to, you know, can you shoot without knowing positively who your target is?
Mm.
And I do not think that this is typical of the Israeli Defense Forces. Mm. I believe they're very professional. They take that very seriously.
Mm.
And it's true, there is casualties.
Mm.
And but look, I do also agree with those who think, hey, you know, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in his original statement at least, he did not seem to express strongly enough his sorrow for this tragedy.
Well, it's what we're told as kids even, isn't it? You know, if we're apologizing with a whole bunch of excuses, is it really an apology?
Yes.
You know, in the sense that, look, I'm sorry, but it's war, it's this, it's that.
Yes. I think a lot of people interpreted it as exactly that. Yeah, it happens. You know, we're sorry, not going to do this again, but deal with it. And for a lot of people, this is not good enough. This was not good enough apologies. Mm. Foreign aid workers, they're protected by international law, even including during conflicts. But we are here to talk about the Word of God. Mm. And we are here to give you some positive thoughts. And what can we make about such a tragic story? Well, it reminds me of a Bible passage where Jesus was sitting with his disciples and he said this. Mm. What about the 18 people who died when the Tower in Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? This is the words of Jesus.
Mm.
And he himself answered and said, no. And I tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too.
Mm.
So some people came to Jesus and there were some things going on. And they started that conversation with Jesus asking, you know, hey, Jesus, do you know the latest news that Pilate...
Mm.
He murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. So apparently some unjust sacrifices. And maybe they wanted to get Jesus to say that was outrageous and have Jesus putting him in hot waters, in deep waters with the Roman authorities.
Mm.
And then Jesus replied with an answer as he always did. He very often did. He said, do you think that those Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people from Galilee?
Mm.
So we don't know if those Galileans were doing something wrong or not.
Yeah.
But Jesus is saying, but do you think that they were worse than everybody else? And then Jesus asked, is that why they suffered? And Jesus says, no, not at all. And you will perish too unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. Mm. Jesus is saying that in that message, we do not know the day of tomorrow.
Mm.
Either you are at fighting a war
and
in very dangerous territory, or if you are mowing your lawn in your backyard. Mm. We do not know when we're going to die. The question is, for Jesus here, not so much if that was fair, if that was unfair, even though we can talk about all of these considerations. And in these examples here, Jesus is saying, this was not fair.
Mm.
They were not worse sinners than anyone. This was not some kind of divine punishment on them. However, Jesus says, the most important thing for you to consider is, are you in a right relationship with God?
Mm.
Are you in harmony with Him? Because if you die, what's going to happen to your soul?
Mm.
What's going to happen to your life? Are you in harmony with God? Are you reconciled with Him?
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
And now we're going to go to our interview segment. But before we do so, we're going to be talking about finances. We're going to be talking about how to save for your first home deposit in a very, very difficult environment
100%.
That we're currently in. But before that, we have a third quiz question to our listeners so that they can enter into the draw to win a $50 voucher for Better Books and Foods. What's question number three?
What couple did Paul thank in Romans 16 for risking their lives for him? A, Priscilla and Aquila, B, Simeon and Anna, or C, Ananias and Sapphira.
All right.
So, yeah, which couple did Paul thank in Romans 16? If you're not sure, you've got the chapter there. Have a read. Pop out, get out a Bible, get into Romans 16, and tell us, was it Priscilla, Aquila, Simeon and Anna, or Ananias and Sapphira, that risked their lives for Paul.
So 0491-064-669 is the number that you can use to text in your message. You can say the name of the couple. You can just say A, B, or C. And what we wanted to know is, whom was Paul grateful for and he was thanking for risking their lives for him? Was it Priscilla and Aquila, Simeon and Anna, or Ananias and Sapphira? But now I'd like to welcome Sam Bonello, who is not only my friend, but he's also a financial educator and counselor. And he is going to give us some tips here about how to save for our first house deposit. Welcome, Sam. Good morning to you.
Morning, Joseph. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you here. Sam, I have a question. Why is it so many people complaining that it is harder than ever to save some money for a house deposit? Is there any truth? Is that just perception? What is your take on that? Has the market gone really, really hard?
Yeah, no, it's all true. There's a good reason why people are, I guess, complaining and finding it difficult. Things have definitely changed. Just a couple stats here to give you an example. In 2020, so before the COVID chaos and everything that's followed economically, it was 6.8 times the average household income in Australia is what the national cost of a house was 6.8 times salary.
Okay.
And now, well, the latest reports from the ANZ Housing Affordability Report are May 2023. So we're a little bit early to get the current data, but it had risen to 7.2. So things have definitely gone up. You've got to work, nearly an extra year to pay off your house if you were dedicating your entire income towards it.
Of course.
Things have changed.
Okay, so houses did go more expensive, significantly so after COVID, in relative terms. So we hear reports of a lot of people. Some people are living in their caravans in rest stops because they can't afford a home, they can't afford a rent, or they're if they're wanting to save money and they can't live with their parents and so on. So what can people do, Sam, if you know they're in that situation where they're paying rent perhaps, or and they're struggling to save up some money to buy a house?
Yeah. So first of all, I mean, it's not a bright picture relative to history, but people have to stay positive. I think that's the first thing.
And
no matter what the economy does and what the cost of housing does, we still have agency and the ability to make changes to our ability to earn income or to our expenses and the way that we invest our, you know, potential home deposit. So I'd start with that and say, don't lose hope. People still have agency. You're still in control of your situation, but that's not to deny that it's certainly difficult. The average time to save a house deposit is now around 9 years, are the statistics in the report. So definitely not easy, but there are four levers that people can pull to control their own wealth creation journey. And I mentioned them just briefly there, but I'll go into a bit more detail. The first is your income. And this isn't something that people necessarily think of first. We usually think of the second lever, which is your expenses. People think, well, what can I cut out of my life? But as I'm sitting with clients, and you said before, I'm a friend and a financial counselor, and I forget the other term that you used, but
financial educator.
Educator, that's right. I'm a financial advisor, so I do have to share the fact that this isn't personal advice. This is just general education. But as an advisor, I have to give that caveat. But as I'm sitting with clients, you know, they're saying it's difficult, things are tight, and you can go through their expenses with them, but there's only so much you can cut out.
Of course.
The
you can't be living on noodles and tuna cans forever. Instant noodles.
The other thing that you have control over is your income. And that can sometimes require a bit more work because it might require further education. It might require relocation. But if you're serious about reaching a goal, you'll do what it takes. And increasing your income will not just have a benefit to help you get in the house, but it'll help you pay it off too.
Okay.
Then the other levers that you've got to pull in the wealth creation journey are time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's the hardest one to move, because the time you've got is the time you've got. But, if you've got 9 years on average to save a house deposit,
yes, okay.
Well, that informs the amount of risk that you can take to grow your house deposit through other investments. And that comes to the fourth lever, which is opportunity.
Okay.
So it's a bit of a two-edged sword. Houses have gotten more expensive, but part of that is because interest rates have gone up, and interest rates going up. I mean, you can get an at-call cash savings account at the moment that'll pay 5.4% is one that I'm aware of. Mm. So that certainly helps your house deposit grow.
Interesting. Yes.
So you're not powerless. There are those four levers that you can pull, and I would encourage people not just to focus on expenses, but the opportunity risk one, and especially the income one. Invest in yourself, and that'll help move you towards investing in a home faster.
Okay, so you're saying to our listeners that, hey, you've got this. It may take some time, but there are things that you can do right now to help you save for that house deposit. I like that you said that on average, Australians take 9 years to save, because sometimes people wonder, you know, oh, I'm going to take 9 years, 10 years. Mm. Well, everyone is in that same boat.
Mm.
Now, when we're talking about a house deposit, what percentage are we talking about here that we need to prepare for, our listeners need to prepare for?
Yeah, Sam? That's a great question. So the ANZ Housing Affordability Report is talking about a 20% deposit.
Okay.
Now, there's a caveat there. 20% deposit is a great goal, because it means you don't have to pay lender's mortgage insurance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But there are also some schemes available at the moment. One is called the Home Guarantee Scheme. And that allows people, depending on their situation, single mums are one of the groups that are able to get the lowest. You can have as little as 2% deposit for a house, and that's because the government will guarantee between 30 and 40% of the value of the property, so you don't have to come up with as big a deposit, and your loan repayments won't be nearly as big. So that's not a scheme that's available to everybody.
Okay,
but it's certainly worth Googling. It's called the Home Guarantee Scheme.
The Home Guarantee Scheme.
You can read the details on that. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
It's not for the faint of heart. Some of these government schemes are great at collecting votes, but quite difficult to navigate and successfully apply for. But it's there. The other one that's available for people, and I encourage them to look at it, anybody that's earning over $45,000 per year, could potentially benefit from the First Home Super Savers Scheme.
First Home Super Savers.
Yeah. There's some eligibility criteria. One of them is that you can never have owned a home before. And then if you buy a home using that scheme, you then have to live in it as your principal place of residence for a period of time. So like all of these schemes, you've got to read who's eligible and what are the conditions. But that scheme allows you to put some up to $15,000 per year into your super fund, and collect a significant tax saving in the process. And then over 4 years, you can add up to $50,000 to your super and then take it out when you're ready to buy your home. So over that period, if you're earning $65,000 per year and you put $15,000 into super instead of just putting it into your house deposit account, you can be saving 19.5 cents tax this financial year. It'll be 15 cents in the dollar tax next financial year with the new tax rates. And all of that tax saving can then go towards your house deposit little nest egg. So the situation, if you listen to the mainstream media, is grim. And the statistics support that. But you still have agency, and there are levers that you can pull. There are schemes that you can participate in that will help you, because the problem is not new, and the government is not unaware of it.
Yes, okay.
And they also know that solving this problem will help get votes, which is a big motivator for them. And so they've put different schemes in place. But the other thing I would say to people is, not only do you have to you know, take responsibility, take agency, and do something to change your situation. You can help yourself by surrounding yourself with positive influences and positive stories, because it can potentially be a long journey to purchasing your first home, and it can be very lonely if you're thinking this is going to take me 9 years and everyone else is having fun and I'm having to, you know, live in my van and eat noodles. Listen to some podcasts. One that I've recommended 100 times is called The Property Couch. And it helped me a lot getting started too. And they have some incredible stories of people that, against all odds, single mums, you know, domestic violence victims, just terrible situations, you know, people have risen from the ashes and been able to purchase their first home in quite a short space of time. So, and one of the things that you'll hear if you, you know, treat yourself and go and listen to some of those podcasts is this concept of rent vesting, which is that it making the decision to live where you need to live for family commitments or work commitments, whatever it might be that anchors you to a specific location. But if that location where you have to be is too expensive for you to buy a home, well, you can buy a home in a regional area, or you can buy a home that doesn't suit you because it's a small apartment in the city, but you've got a young family. That's called rent vesting. You rent where you need to live, but you get your foot on the property ladder by buying an investment property wherever you can afford it, as soon as you can afford it.
Interesting.
And that can be a real stepping stone to, you know, getting off the rental treadmill at some point by taking the money that you've accumulated in that rental property and putting it into the home that that suits your family and your situation. So you've just got to think outside the box. You've got to be determined, but definitely surround yourself with positive people and positive stories of people that have either treading that path with you or have succeeded in that path against all odds.
Very good. Brett, you want to have a question?
I think it might have been partially answered by now, but I was going to ask, I'm thinking of our listeners who might be like single income families because they might be homeschooling, might be a single parent, something like that. Do you have any tips for people in that sort of position in this climate?
Yeah, all the same things, Brett, and especially the home guarantee scheme. I know a single mum who our local church helped her out of a employment abuse situation and helped her get her immigration status up and running. And she has just moved into her first home. She's a single mum of two teenage kids and she did it. And she managed to do it earning between, over that period of time, between sort of $50,000 and probably $65,000 a year.
Well,
And then immigrant as well, by the sounds of it.
Guarantee scheme. What's that? Sorry, Joseph.
Yeah. And she's not only a single mom with two teenage kids that is coming out of an employment abusive relationship, but by the sounds of it, it's also, you mentioned that she's an immigrant as well.
Yeah. Just in Australia a couple of years. And at the time that we met, it was still on an employer sponsored visa, which was part of the reason she was trapped in the situation, or thought she was trapped in the situation that she was in. So, people have done it. People are doing it. People can do it. But I also want to just sort of frame this conversation.
We'll definitely invite you to come again. We do need to move on here with our show. But I just want to thank you so much for your time. And I believe that you have given listeners a lot of hope about, you know, they're not trapped. There's a lot of things that they can do. Sam Bonello, financial advisor, thank you so much for your participation.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.